important principles, hearing and doing. Jesus taught this over and over again in the scriptures, that hearing and doing were central and essential parts of how we grow as Christians. Amen. It's actually, if you want to try to illustrate it and understand it, it's true in almost any discipline of life. If you want to become a police officer, you have to go for training. You got to be able to hear. If you're going to be in the army, you've got to be able to hear. You got to be disciplined. You got to be trained, and you got to be able to respond properly at the proper time. If you want to play a musical instrument, you have to study your notes. You have to study your scales. If you want to be a basketball player, you got to practice those foul shots. You got to do the simple things over and over again until you get it right. Anything in life that is important to you, you have to pay attention to it. And how much more so the kingdom of God and the things that God wants for us in terms of what he has in store for you going forward. Amen. How many of you truly believe that you're not there yet, that God has more in the future for you? You're not here today and you're like 100% perfect, 100% complete, that there's more that God's doing. Amen? Amen. And that doesn't matter how old you might be. You could be young or old, but God is still at work. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. You could be 70, 80, or 90 years old, and God's still working on me. Amen. Like the song says, to make me what I ought to be. I'm here to tell you this morning, as we continue a little bit more on hearing and doing, today I'm going to focus a little bit more on the doing part than the hearing part of this process. Jesus did not come to this earth to start a religion. He came in his Father's name with all the authority of heaven to establish the influence, the power, and the love of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And when he taught us to pray, he said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why we're here this morning and what Jesus came to accomplish has everything to do about a new kingdom, a new power, a new authority, a new realm, if you please, a spiritual dimension that we all need to be a part of and that Jesus invites us into. Jesus invites us into an active and permanent place in his kingdom. He invites us to be a part of his family. He invites us to be, if you please, part of the royal family. Because the Bible says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is made very clear by Christ in the Bible. There is the mention of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God over 100 times in the Bible. The kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is mentioned in the Bible. And when something is mentioned that many times, how many of you know it's a smart idea to study what it means? If God thought it was important enough to put it over 100 times in the Bible, and we hear about it very rarely, or it's very infrequently on our lips or in our minds, we may be missing something. If God says something over 100 times and we only talk about it once a year, you could miss something. Are you with me, church? Jesus' opening statement when he begins his teaching and he begins his ministry, Mark chapter 1, the very, very first chapter, the very first words out of his mouth, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. It says Jesus came preaching into Galilee and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. In other words, it's like a royal declaration. There's a new realm coming. There's a new authority. There's a new sheriff in town, if you please. I am the king. I am here to do my Father's business. I'm here to introduce a whole new dimension to you. I already mentioned when he taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When exerting power over sickness and Satan, here's what he says. If I cast out the demons by the power of God, then you can be sure that the kingdom of God has arrived among you. He's saying, I'm going to push out the darkness. I'm going to displace the rulers and the authorities of this present darkness. I'm going to bring light and love and goodness and power and healing. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring my Father's realm onto this earth. That's what he did. Everywhere he went, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit anointed him to do good and to deliver all those who were oppressed by Satan. When confronting Pilate, who said to him, "Who are you and what have you done?" I love this. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Can you imagine how unnerving that must have been to Pilate? Imagine Herod when the wise man came to Herod and said, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews?" And Herod's saying, "What? I thought I was the king. My kingdom is not of this world," Jesus said to Pilate. "If it were, my followers would fight for me, and they would keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." And even after his death and resurrection in Acts chapter 1, he was on earth for 40 days. Guess what the major subject, the most important subject Jesus was talking about after his resurrection? It says in Acts chapter 1, he presented himself alive after his death and resurrection by many convincing proofs. And the disciples, being with him for 40 days, he spoke with them about the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. This was like a, what would you call that, a wrap-up. Let's have a wrap-up. You know, the most important thing is to review everything that you've heard and to, you know, when you have a final test, you have a review, a wrap-up, you know, when you've studied a course. This is Jesus wrapping things up, spending time with his disciples for 40 days, speaking to them about the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Are you starting to get the idea that this is pretty important? However, Jesus taught in order to be part of this kingdom, you need a spiritual rebirth. So Nicodemus, who was of the Jewish ruling council, came to Jesus at night. And there's some inference there that he did that because he was afraid of the persecution by his peers. He didn't want to appear to be a follower of Jesus quite yet. And so he says to Jesus, "Master, we know you must be from God because nobody can do these great miracles you're doing unless God is with him." So you would think at that point Jesus would say, "You know what, Nicodemus, you're right, man. Yeah, I really am of God. Wow, you got it, man." He says to him, "I tell you the truth, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God." You see, Jesus answers the questions that you don't ask because he's going to tell you the truth, whether you like to hear it or not. And he says to all of us this morning in 2019, unless you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You don't understand the spiritual realm of God. You don't understand the rule and the authority of Christ unless there's a change way down deep in your heart. And Nicodemus had this discussion with Jesus, and Jesus said, he's trying to explain to Nicodemus, you know, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus says, "How is that possible? Have you ever said, how is this possible? How am I going to be born again? How am I going to be a different person? How am I going to break these old habits? How am I going to have a change of heart? How am I going to forgive those persons who have hurt me? How am I going to stop being so negative?" Jesus said, "The wind blows and you don't know where it's coming from and you don't know where it's going." That's how it is with spiritual things. You don't understand it all yet. But when you are born again, when you submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when you say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner," when you repent and believe and follow Jesus, your spiritual eyes are open, hallelujah, and you see a realm that you've never seen before. No wonder Paul the Apostle prayed for the church, the early church, "Lord, I pray that the eyes of their heart will be enlightened. Open the eyes of my heart." We sing that song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." So in order to understand the kingdom and in order to grow spiritually, it starts at the new birth. We all have to be born again. Amen. To be born again, you have to repent of your sins. "Lord, I'm sorry for being, for leaving you out of my life. I'm sorry for thinking that I was my own God. I'm sorry for leaving you out. I'm sorry for thinking that I could do things my own way. I need you, Jesus. I'm sorry. I repent of my sins. Come into my heart, Jesus. I want to follow you." And then from that time forward, just like a baby is born, and as the baby grows and is nurtured, he increases his capacity to grow in stature, physically, in wisdom, and in favor with God, and in favor with man. God wants us to grow up in all the ways that we're supposed to grow up spiritually. And it all boils down to this. If you want to understand very quickly What does it mean to grow up spiritually? Let me tell you in one sentence. How many of you want to hear that one sentence? It all boils down to this. To grow up spiritually, you have to increase your capacity for God inside of you. You have to become more God conscious than you are self conscious. You know, I had this image. I was almost going to do this object lesson this morning, Gloria. You would have enjoyed this. I was going to take a glass and put some dirt in it and hold it up, you know, half full with this half full glass of dirty water. And I'm saying to illustrate this, I'm going to take some oil. And oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, right? And oil is a symbol very often of the consecration that we have towards God. And as you begin to pour the oil in the water, oil and water don't mix. You pour the oil, the water starts to come up to the top. And if you keep pouring the oil, that all that dirty water starts to spill over. And eventually all you have left is a glass full of holy oil. Hallelujah. That's all you have left. We have to increase our capacity for God. Hallelujah. We got to push aside other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, Jesus said. Don't worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. The flowers of the field, I take care of them. Hallelujah. The birds of the air, I take care of them. Won't I take care of you, God said. Put me first. Put me in the center of your life. Put me in the driver's seat. Hallelujah. God is saying, I want to be more like Jesus in every area of my life. Jesus taught in many of his parables that hearing and obeying were the keys to this. If you hear and you obey what you're hearing, then you will become my disciple. In James chapter 1, we looked at this text last week. I think we have it. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 24. But be ye doers of the word, you know this scripture, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And then it goes on to say, when you look into the perfect law of liberty, which is referring to the Bible, this is the law of liberty. See, because this says there's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. The ancient covenant with the Ten Commandments carved into stone were not able to change our hearts. We could get the laws and we could see how we missed and we could see how we were guilty and how we missed out and we fell short. But the Ten Commandments carved in stone had no power to change me, to make me a follower of God. But since Jesus came, and since the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and since God promised a brand new heart to those who believe him, now I don't have to listen to sin anymore. Sin's power is broken in my life. Are you with me this morning? This is the life of God. This is the word of God. So we must become doers. And then also, just quickly referencing back to last week, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus said there's a difference in someone who pays attention and makes the effort to apply what they've already heard. In other words, if you're here this morning and you feel like you haven't really grown much, you've been plateauing, your life has just been kind of, you know, okay, but not really following 100% or fulfilling your destiny 100%, the Bible challenges us with this. It says, to the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply it, it will be measured back to you. And you'll be given even greater ability to respond. In other words, if you're cooperating with God, he's going to work with you. But if you give God a cold shoulder, after a while, you know, you're on your own. It's not that God really gives up on us, but we still have a free will. We have a part. God will not turn you into a robot. God's not going to turn you into a robot. There will always be a part that you have to play. We've got to yield our will to God. We've got to yield. It says you are mastered by whoever you yield to. If you yield to the Holy Spirit, you'll be a spirit-filled person. If you give in to your flesh, you'll be a carnal person. Come on now. Yes, we're preaching the word today. So how you hear and how you obey is very critical. So another translation says, take heed how you hear and what you do with the wealth of wisdom and the truth that God has given. What are you doing with the truth that God has already given you? God says, forgive your enemies. God says, give your life away. If you seek to save your life, you'll lose your life. But he who finds his life in me will discover real life. We have to practice what the Word of God is saying. Today, are you hearing his voice? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. What is the dominant voice in your life? What is the dominant influence in your life? My wife and I sometimes pray in the morning and we say, Lord, today may the greatest influence in my life not be my circumstances, not be feelings, but be the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Lordship of Christ. I want to say that again. This is worth the price of admission right here. The greatest influence in my life, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let those influence me today. Let that be the greatest influence over my life today. Let the church say amen. Amen. Jesus himself was an example of this. He submitted himself to his own parents. It says in, I believe it's Luke chapter 4, if I'm not mistaken, or Matthew 4, he grew in wisdom. He grew. Why did Jesus have to grow? Why did he even come as a baby? Adam was created as an adult. Why did Jesus have to come as a baby? God was giving us an example from birth all the way till our senior years that we have to depend on God just as Christ depended on his Father. I love what Jesus made is very clear. In John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. But wait a minute, you might say, Jesus was God. Yes, he was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. He had 100% humanity. And the life that he lived was no different than yourself or myself. He had to rely on the Holy Spirit just as we do. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the encouragement to say we could do this as a human being. But he succeeded as a human being because he was a spirit-filled man. He was a spirit-filled man. I'm getting ahead of myself. John chapter 12, verse 49. I don't speak on my own authority, Jesus said. The Father who has sent me commands me what to say and how to say it. And this is, you'll see this throughout the Gospels. Jesus saying, I'm not doing this on my own. Whatever I see the Father doing, that's what I do. Do you understand how Jesus relied on hearing and obeying? He was an example for us. He had to hear God. He had to obey God. He had to see and pay attention to the instructions that he received from heaven. And even the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Bible says he was wrestling with the horrible, horrible thought of the cross and experiencing on his holy body, his holy sinless body, the sins of the world. And he wrestled, and angels came and ministered unto him, and sweat as drops of blood fell from his face. Yet Jesus said, Father, not as I will, but thy will be done. Wow. Wow. What makes us think we can do this without the Father? If Jesus had to rely on God the Father that much every day, if you want to live out your Christian life every day, you're going to have to hear and obey. You're going to have to hear and do what God says. And I don't mean that, again, I don't mean that in a rigid sense as if, you know, some of you maybe were mistreated by a very authoritative or very tyrannical person in your life. You know, there's some parents, unfortunately, that treat their children like slaves. I'm not talking about that. Are you with me, church? I'm not talking about that because God is a good Father. And he's a loving Father. And he's a gracious Father. And he believes in you more than you believe in yourself. If you had a bad experience with authority, don't blame that on God. I don't know why I'm saying this, but there's somebody who maybe needs this today. if your ex-husband was abusive or tyrannical, and your dad or your grandparents or whatever, don't think that God is that way. You got to understand God is a good father. Amen? And so with that, I want to close out that part of this message, and I want to just leave you today with five ways that you can improve your doing. Last week we talked about hearing, but today I want to leave you with five ways that you can be more of a doer as a Christian. Say amen, church. Amen. Number one, decide to be Christ-like no matter where you go. You're not just a Christian in church. When I first gave my life to God, I was 17 years old. And I told you this story many times, but I stood up in that youth retreat and I said to the people, I said, you know, my problem is that I'm only a Christian at church. And I got really honest with God and said, from now on, I want to be a real Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Be Christ-like and consistent. If you want to be a doer, you've got to do what God says 24 hours a day. To put it another way, live out the truth that you believe. And remember, we're not under law. We are living under grace. So if you trip up and you mess up, don't beat yourself up and don't give up. Amen? Amen. Realize that God gives a second chance and a third chance. And he says, how many times should I forgive my brother? 70 times 7. God is a gracious and forgiving God. So don't get under condemnation. That's not what I'm preaching this morning. Amen? I'm preaching grace. I'm preaching grace, but I'm also preaching that we respond to the grace of God. You know, Paul said, the grace of God towards me was not without effect. I responded to God's grace. So number one, be authentic. Be Christ-like. Wherever you go, you know, follow the example of Jesus. Ask yourself this question. It's kind of an old one, but it really works. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do when having to make out the bills? What would Jesus do when my husband is acting nasty? What would Jesus do when the kids are out of control? What would Jesus do when my boss is driving me crazy? What would Jesus do? Be Christ-like. Number two, be kingdom-minded. Be kingdom-minded. Remember, it's not our little world. It's God's world. And we get the privilege of being part of something that's bigger than us, something that's greater than us. The Bible says that the kingdoms of this world will all pass away. Everything in this world will be tried by fire. But what's done for Christ will last. Amen. Remind yourself, maybe pray the Lord's Prayer once in a while. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we think, oh, that's too religious. No, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Be kingdom-minded by doing things that are eternal. Doing things that are eternal. Remember the parable that was given about the man who built his house? There were two different guys. One built his house on sand, one who built it on the rock. The man who built his house on the sand, the house didn't last. The house that was built on the rock, it lasted. Why did it last? Because it was built on hearing the word of Jesus and doing it. He says, I tell you, that man who hears and does what my teaching is saying is like a man who built his house on the rock. Amen? So be kingdom-minded. Realize that there are things that are just going to pass away and don't amount to anything. Did you ever get twisted out of shape for something and found out later on, you know what, that was really stupid. Why did I let that bother me? In eternity, what will that really matter? Ask God, as you read the Bible, to transform your mind and your attitude and give you more of a kingdom mentality. Give you more of a kingdom consciousness that we're part of this great kingdom, this great realm. Number three, be a servant. How do I become a doer? Hearing and doing the will of God. Be a servant. Jesus said, I have not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. He is our example. He got down and he washed his disciples' feet, including Judas, including Peter, who was about to betray, to deny him three times, and Thomas, who doubted him. Jesus said, you call me your master and your Lord, and I am. I love this in John 13. Read it when you go home, John 13. You call me master and Lord, and I am. That's correct. And I have come and washed your feet. Why did I do this? I did this for you as an example, Jesus said. He comes right out and says it. You know, sometimes his example is inferred. This time he comes right out and says it. I have done this to you for you as an example, that you should be a servant as well. Amen. Remember the man who was beat up and left on the side of the road? The religious guys walked right past him. You know, the Jewish Levites, the priest, walk right past him. This man smells. Ooh, he's horrible. It's gross. He probably did something to deserve that. That's why he's bleeding on the side of the road here. Instead, the Bible says a Samaritan who was despised by the Jews stopped and poured some oil on the man's wounds. Serve people who are nasty. Oh, boy. That's hard. Love people who do not love back. Love the least of these, my brethren, Jesus said. Whatever you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you're doing it for me. Amen. It's not easy. Christian life is not easy. But it's worth it. Say it. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Be a servant. Who is there in your life right now that could be won over if you would just serve? I'll never forget, Brother Angel, you may remember the testimony of Jeff Taylor, one of our friends who came to the men's ministry and preached about some neighbors across the street. And they're the type of neighbors that sometimes, you know, you roll your eyes. First of all, they got all the pickup trucks in the driveway, and they got, you know, they're changing the oil, and they got their heads under the hood, and they got all these people with the loud music and the beer bottles and you know, all that. And then they don't cut their grass. None of us have ever had a neighbor like that, right? So, Jeff... Who is that? Hello? So Jeff, who is a men's ministry leader there at Church in the Sun. You know Jeff Taylor, right, Gloria? Yes. The Lord speaks to him and says, I want you to go across and cut those people's grass. Those people? The ones I'm trying to avoid? I don't even have eye contact with them. He says, yep. So every Saturday, Jeff, who is very busy, he's involved in ministry at the big church in Orlando, down by the city. He cut the grass. And the wife, I don't know if she was a single mom or what, she just had a boyfriend, what it was, but she started saying, why are you doing this? And he says, well, because I love Jesus. And the Lord spoke to me to do this for you. And he did this for several weeks, months, I don't know how long. And then one day, the Lord said, now invite them to church. After serving, after loving, you now have credibility. Somebody said, why aren't there more Christians in the world? Because a lot of people out there have never met a real one. Turn to your neighbor and say, come on now. Keeping it real. And I'm preaching to myself. Please, please don't feel condemned. Please. Everything we're preaching here this morning, we're saying by the grace of God. And I am no different, no better than any one of you. I need this message just as much as you do. Amen? So please, get the. I'm saying this with the right attitude and with all the love of God. Be a servant. Number four, be an ambassador. You're an ambassador. Christ, an ambassador. You're not just any old riffraff. You are an ambassador. Paul says we are ambassadors of Christ. That means you have an important relationship with your government. You would never be appointed an ambassador if you didn't have a good relationship with your government, or the king, or the president, or the prime minister, or whoever. You represent Christ and his kingdom in a hurting, and just as an ambassador represents his country, you represent Christ for all the best things, to show love to a dark world, to show healing, to bring the kind of help that the world needs. We have good news. We have good news to share. I'm reminded of Nehemiah, who, even though he was a cupbearer to the king, recognized he had a higher calling to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he left all of his easy living, and he went to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And Satan came along to distract him. How many of you know Satan's been busy during the holidays? Satan gets busy. Don't even get me started. Don't get me started, as they say up in New York. I love what Nehemiah says. I am doing a good work. I can't come down off this wall. Whew, I love that. I love that. He was focused on his identity. He understood, I am here on a mission for the King of Kings and the Lord. I am doing God's will. I can't get involved with that petty stuff. Get down here, Nehemiah. You know, the devil's after you. They're going to come. They're going to kill you. They're going to do this. They're talking about you. They're talking smack about you. I don't even know what that means, actually. I love what he says. I am doing a good work. I'm an ambassador. You don't understand. I am part of a different realm. I'm part of a kingdom that has no end. The eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I cannot come down and get in the mud with you. And the last one. Above all, if you want to be a doer, be loving. Be a loving person. Very simple. Be Christ-like, authentic. Be kingdom-minded. Be a servant. Be an ambassador. Be loving. The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Amen? Be focused on other people more than yourself. Oh, boy, this is a hard one. I'm going fast because I want to close. Ask God to give you a caring heart. Are people drawn to you because they sense the love of God in you? I'm asking myself, you know, do people really feel attracted to me because they sense Jesus? You know Jesus. Something about you, I feel you're different. You've got God's love in your heart. Jesus told the Pharisees, who were the religious people, he says, you don't have the love of God in your heart. You're trying to kill me. How many of you know you're really messed up when you think you're religious and you're trying to kill God? How twisted is that? You don't love God. And Jesus prayed in John 17 that the same love God has for himself, for the Son, same love that God has for Jesus, would be in us. Think about this for a second. Let me close with this. The love that God has for his own Son, Jesus prayed in John 17, I think it's verse 26. He prays for his followers. Let that same love be in us. Let me ask you the question. Has that prayer been answered in your life? The prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17 for us, asking that the love that God has for him would also be in us. Let's stand together. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. In just a moment, we're going to sing this final song. latter will be greater than your past. We're going to believe God for greater things in 2019. How many of you would like to see 2019 great, a year of great progress in the church, in my home, in my finances, in my family? Get a hold of it. Get a hold of it, because God is at work. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on, I press on, I press on. I want to get a hold of that purpose for which God got a hold of me. You're not here today by accident, my friend. You're here today because you felt drawn. God's drawing you. He's calling you. He's calling you to be different. He's calling you to be born again. He's calling you to be an ambassador of Christ. He's calling you to be a hearer and a doer. Hallelujah. And I simply want to ask you today, because I know the worship team's coming up in a second, but I want to ask you, if this message touch your heart and you want to be more of a hearer and doer in 2019, would you just lift your hand right now, every one of you that wants to be a hearer and a doer in 2019. We'll close in prayer, but first, worship team, come on up. I want us to sing this chorus, this song, The Latter Will Be Greater Than the Past. Hallelujah. Let's sing it together.